there.
Okay, we're back after a little bit of a hiatus. Welcome back to those in person, to those on Zoom. A while back, I was talking to an educator in a well-known Jewish high school who told me in tongue-in-cheek, he said, the greatest disservice that we do with our children in terms of davening is teach them how to daven at a very young age. Because then they grow up with these terms that they don't really understand. And by then, when they could have the capacity to understand, it feels like a burden. A lot of words, takes a lot of time, all the chanting is stuck in their head, it feels infantile. When the reality is, the tunes for Adon Olam shouldn't give us the wrong impression that we're not saying the highest level of words and praises in the universe. Yigdal is the Rambam's 13 principles of faith, that's the 13 lines of Yigdal. Again, we sing these things, we may not realize just the weight of what's going on over here. And unfortunately, which there's no solution, it wouldn't be like, don't daven until you're older and then you have to learn it from scratch. That's not a solution, but the solution, I guess, is at some point later in life to be able to take the time like we're doing right now to be able to truly understand what it is that we're saying. Because if we don't, we're left with that childish impression and tefillah really is a burden. I've said this many times before. Often it feels like we don't enjoy davening. We enjoy having davened, getting it out of the way. Which sometimes really hits more times than others. When we feel like davening is long, we feel like it's just a burden, something we have to get through as opposed to something that should go through us and help us realize the weight and the elevation of what it is that we're talking about. We really should spend a separate class going through each of the brachos of Shmona Esrei. Maybe at a later point in time we will do that. But for the purpose of this fundamental series, I wanted to shift now to the middle section of the Amidah. We spoke last time, a few weeks ago, we talked last time about the first section of the Amidah. Mentioned the Rashba's idea that the first three brachos are putting us in a mindset before we could ask anything in particular. We are going to first remind ourselves that we are talking to the one, the only one who can help us, and we are not entitled to anything. And therefore, by saying those first three ideas, which the Rashba connected to those three brachos, the one who can help us, the only one who can help us, and that we are not entitled, we put ourselves in a position to actually move to Bakasha. So just like Chazal, we are breaking down Shmona Esrei, we're breaking down the Amidah into three sections. In source number one, the Gemara Amar Rabbi Chanina, Rishonos, the first three brachos in the Amidah, Doma Le'evet Shemesadar Shevach Lefnei Rabba, the first section of the Amidah, the first three brachot are Shevach. Like a person before asking for anything, praises the king, praises the master. Our topic for tonight, Emtza'iyos, the middle section, the 13 brachos in the middle. Doma le'evich mevakesh pras merava, which is the actual request. He's asking for his money, he's asking for his food, he's asking for what he actually needs. Achronos, the last three brachos, hopefully next week's topic. Doma le'evich akibel pras merava, after having gotten what he needs. V'niftar v'holecho, he says thank you, peace out. That's going to be the topic for next week. So to focus on the Emtza'iyos, what exactly is the main theme of the 13 brachos? Which is a hard question to tackle, because we're talking about 13 different brachos. How do you take 13 different things and line them up and say, here's the one big theme running through 13 different brachos? It would be a lot easier to do this process if we could somehow have only one bracha in the middle. If we could somehow compact the 13 brachos in the middle of Shmona Esrei into just one long, giant bracha, it might be easier for us to actually find a fundamental theme that runs through all of them. We'll get to Havineinu in just a second. Very good. Before we get to Havineinu, what's interesting, I gave it to you in source number two, the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Lamed Daled, where the Gemara has a machlokas in Halacha. When a person makes a mistake in one of the middle brachos, where are they supposed to go back to? A person forgot to say the same talamata lebracha. A person forgot hamelech hamishpat, and they're still davening. So where should they go back to? Mor has a machlokas if you go back to the bracha you were up to. So if you made a mistake in Hashiva Shavteinu and you forgot hamelech hamishpat, and you're up to es samach david, do you go back to Hashiva Shavteinu? Or do you go back to Ata Chonim, which is the beginning of the middle section? The same way, when you forget hamelech hakadosh, you go back not just to Ata Kadosh, you go back to the beginning of the three. And if you forget Yal V'Yavo and you're still davening, you go back to Ritzeh. It's a checkpoint. Chazal really break it down into the first three, the middle 13, and the last three. Any mistake in the first three, go back to the beginning of the three. Any mistake in the last three, if you're still davening, you go back to Ritzeh. What do you do if you make a mistake in the middle 13 brachos? The Gemara quotes Rav Huna's opinion, who says you go back to the beginning of Atachonin. You make a mistake in Baruch Aleinu, and you realize a few brachos later, you don't go back to Baruch Aleinu, he says, you go back to Atachonin. This section has to start over again. We don't pass like Rav Huna. We don't hold like him. What's interesting, though, is how the Gemara defends Rav Huna's opinion. The Gemara has a kasha on the second at the end of the first line. Mesa Rav Sheshes. The Braisa says, "Meheichan hu chozer mitchilas habracha shetaze." When a person makes a mistake in the middle of brachos, you go back to the beginning of the bracha you messed up in. You go back to Baruch Aleinu, not at the Chonin. So ask the Gemara, how would Rav Huna explain that braisa? Tiyafta de Rav Huna. Look what he says. Amalecha Rav Huna, emtza'iyos, kulhu chada berchasa ninhu. He says, perhaps the braisa means when it says you go back to the beginning of that bracha, it doesn't mean Baruch Aleinu. It means that middle 13 brachos are all one giant bracha in halacha. And therefore, when the braisa said go back to the beginning of that bracha, it means that middle section, meaning atachonin. We don't pass in like Rav Huna. I think it's interesting how he formulates the idea of the 13 brachos in the middle as being one giant bracha. But that's not really how we're going to pass it, and therefore that terminology is interesting, but not what we're looking for. So we already heard it before. What would be?
We discussed this once, and we said that you can make it up in Shemaya Tefillah.
Oh, we're going to get to Shemaya Tefillah in just a few minutes. Very good. Shemaya Tefillah is going to be our chameleon bracha. We're going to get to that in just a moment. Definitely hold that thought. So we're not going to be able to really consider the middle 13 brachos as one giant bracha, but there is an opportunity to consider the 13 brachos being meshed into one. I heard it before. Havinenu. I'm imagining there are those here who have heard of Havinenu, and there are perhaps others here who have not heard of Havinenu. What is Havinenu? So this is a shortened version of Shmona Esrei that a person potentially could say when they are either out of time or in a very dire situation. The source of it comes in source number 3. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Bechol Yom V'Yom Mispalel Adam Shmona Esrei. A person has to always daven 18, which became 19 over time. The full Shmona Esrei you have to always say. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Me'ein Shmona Esrei. You don't have to always say the full text. Whenever you want, you can say a shortened version, whatever a shortened version means. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Im Shagurab Tefilas Befeh. The person who's comfortable davening and has plenty of time, plenty of focus, and they're comfortable articulating the words of Shmona Esrei, Mispalel Shmona Esrei. Vim Lav, if you're in a pinch, you can't properly enunciate, either because of your own inability to daven so well or because the circumstances make it difficult to focus, Me'ein Shmona Esrei. So Gemara wants to know, my Me'ein Shmona Esrei. What is the shortened version of Shmona Esrei that you're talking about? So Gemara quotes Rav, who has a shortened version of the middle 13 brachos. Atachonin Ladam Das, Baruch Atah Hashem, Chonin Adas. Each bracha, you take out a couple of words. However, the Gemara really entertains the opinion of Shmuel. Shmuel provides for us a tefillah known as Havinenu. Havinenu is the actual thing we're looking for. We're looking to understand the theme of the entire middle section. We're looking at the middle section not as, what does this bracha mean? What does that bracha mean? How can we improve our kavanah on this bracha and that bracha? No, we're looking more fundamentally, more globally, and saying, is there a theme that runs through the entirety of the bakashos, the middle 13 brachos section, the requests for refuah and parnasa and wisdom and safety and security and Yeshua? Is there a one theme that runs through all of them? We are most likely to discover it if we can look at the condensed version of the middle section. A person is really stuck and doesn't have the time to daven, or is not in a position to focus on their davening. On the book, Shmuel says, explaining Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah, that there is a shortened version of the middle section. You would still recite the first three brachos as normally. You would still recite the last three brachos as normal, but the middle brachos turn into one giant bracha. And what is that bracha? Here's the text, where it's underlined in source number 3. Havinenu Hashem Elokeinu Ladas Rechecha. Hashem, grant us the ability to understand your ways. That is the parallel of which bracha? Atchonin hadas umol es levavein eli rasecha, and uncover our hearts to have proper connection with you. What bracha is that? Hashavina bina lesar rasecha, right? To come close to Hashem. The sislach lanu, what's that? Slach lanu lios geulim.
Gal Yisrael,
right? That's rei vanyenu. V'rachakenu mimachol veinu, and distance us from physical pain. Rifa'enu, v'dashenenu b'na'os artzecha, and fill our fields with proper rain and proper growth. What's that? That's Baruch Aleinu. U'nefutzosenu mi'arba tekabetz, and the scattered ones from across the globe gather in. That is tekabet shofar. V'hato'im al datcha yishpetu. This one is machokas. How to really translate this? Rashi has two different pshatim over here. Does it mean punish those who do the wrong thing, or does it mean get people back to the proper system of justice? That's right. Sadaka mishpat. V'al harishaim tanif yadecha. Hashem, strike your hand against the evil ones. V'lam al shinim. V'yismechu tzadikim. Al tzadikim. The tzadikim should be rejoicing. B'binyan ircha u'betikun hechalecha. With the building of Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash. That's Yerushalayim ircha b'rachem tashuv. U'v'tzmichas keren ledavid avdecha. U'arichas melvan yishayim yishukhacha. And also with the coming of Mashiach. That's Estemach. Tarem Nikra Ata Saneh, and answer us even before we have to call out. That is the bracha of Shomea Tefillah. And how does it end off with the bracha? Baruch Ata Hashem, Shomea Tefillah. I want you to consider for a second in this condensed version. So the first three brachas you're going to say as normal. The last three brachas you're going to say as normal. We have condensed the entirety of the 13 middle bakashos brachas of the Amidah into one long bracha that has a couple of words, a line at most, about each bracha. What's missing? What's missing from each bracha? Which part did we cut out?
Baruch Ata Hashem.
We cut out the Baruch Ata Hashem. We also cut out the praise in each bracha, aside from the fact that the first beginning of Shemona Esrei is praise. The middle is making a request, and the end is saying thank you. But the middle also has praise. Ata chonen li adam das. That's not a request. That's a praise of Hashem. You are the one who grants wisdom. And there's a request. Give us wisdom. And we end off, Baruch Ata Hashem, blessed are you, the one who gives wisdom. So that's a praise at the end too. The bakasha is in the middle. We took out the praise in the bakasha section and just took the bakashos of each bakasha. Everything in this Havineinu is a request, except for the Baruch Ata Hashem at the end. But everything over here is talking about asking Hashem to grant us these things, to grant us wisdom, to grant us connection.
Some of the bakashas, though, are more aligned with praise than the traditional. Atachonim starts with the praise, but the bakasha has no connection to God. We ask God for various things, but here we say, Havineinu Hashem Elokeinu Lada'as Darkecha.
Right.
Whereas in Atachonim,
there's no mention of the Rechecha. That's a good point.
Same thing with Umol Slovenly.
Right. There are some elements here that you would expect, even if we're taking out we're extracting the Bakasha, each Bakasha, it should at least be the same words and same formulation as a larger Recha. That's very interesting, right? So that's a good point for another time to think about how this became the theme of the Bracha and why isn't it found in the larger Bracha. But be that as it may, when push came to shove and we're pressed for time, we took out the praise and just got to the bakashos. It's one thing that's very interesting. And secondly, it ends off Baruch Ata Hashem Shomea Tefillah. We already have a line keneged Shmak Aleinu. That's Tarem Nikra Ata Saneh. To answer us before we even ask, meaning to help us feel understood what Shomea Tefillah is all about. But then it has to have a bracha at the end of it. This is like the middle bracha, and it got Shomea Tefillah. Is that a coincidence? It just happened to be that that's the last one on the list. So we just captured it, so keep that in mind. So Havineinu exists. We got what we wanted. We wanted a one-size-fits-all, one condensed version of the middle section of Shemona Esrei, so we can analyze it and see what is the fundamental idea in that entire section, even when it's zoomed out, even when it's full brachos. But looking at this bracha, a lot is going to be able to be understood. Now, practically, Havineinu is almost never said, because the Gemara concludes in the next line, in source number 3, Layat Allah Abaye Aman de Matzle Havineinu. I was very critical of those who daven Havineinu. And Rashi explains, Lefisha medalik habrachos v'kololam b'bracha achas, because you're not saying it as the Ashkenazi Zagdola intended, have a separate bracha for each thing, so it's not ideal. The Tosfos point out, Hachikai Malon, we're not supposed to be saying Havineinu, but says Tosfos in source number 4, V'yesh svarim demasik, the Gemara may, according to some texts, actually clarify Abaye's criticism, Hani mili b'masa. And a person is in the city, and they're in a regular shul, and they're not pressed for time or safety, and they're davening a shortened davening, that's disgusting. Avo b'derech, when a person is 5 seconds to daven before the plane takes off, or a person's in a dangerous situation, maybe it's okay for a person to say Havineinu. And in fact, it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Source number 5, it's on the books, Havineinu, b'shas adchak, says the Shulchan Aruch, when a person is pressed. And he gives examples of pressed. Shkiyon shehu b'derech, person is traveling, o'ombe b'makam tarot, a person's in a place that is hard to focus. V'yarei shiafsi kuhu, he might be interrupted if he does a long davening. O shelo yuchal esbal b'kavana tefila rucha, or he who doesn't have the mindset, the frame of mind to be able to daven anything long. So what do? You do the first three brachos, then Havineinu, the last three brachos. Havineinu has to be said standing like Shemona Esrei, and Havineinu counts as your tefillah. Even if you get back later and there's plenty of time, you don't repeat Shemona Esrei. You were Yotzei with Havineinu. So it's on the books. Anybody ever say Havineinu before?
No.
No. Anyone ever see a sitter that has Havineinu printed inside the sitter?
Never looked.
I once saw, was it the Birnbaum?
Birnbaum.
So I saw it once in the Young Israel Q Gardens Hills. You do have the back of your sitter? Printed from the publisher?
Yeah.
Okay. None of the art scroll, I don't want to speak for art scroll. I haven't seen it in any of the recent Svarim and the recent printed Siddurim in many, many decades. But I once saw one of them in Young Israel Kew Gardens Hills where I grew up. There was one set of that had Havineinu. It almost had it like as like the main thing to say. It wasn't just like in the back in case you're really stuck. It was, why don't you say this? So I don't know what that was doing there. I don't know who put that there. It was, it looked very, very used. I'm sure some person was happy to come in, do a faster davening and leave. But the Aruch HaShulchan already, way over 100 years ago, points out, Amnam bizmanenu lo shamanu me'ola misha mispalel havinenu. We've never heard of anybody, says the Aruch HaShulchan, who davens havinenu. Why? It's on the books. Why don't we say havinenu when we're in a pinch? Says the Aruch HaShulchan, hatam pashat.
The people will find a reason to say, you know what, I'll do havinenu.
Right, that also, right? People are going to always fall back on it. Says the Aruch HaShulchan a little bit differently. He says, hatam pashat. When they have proper kavana as the default, when a person couldn't have the proper kavana, which was the default, they would have this option for the non-kavana days. Aval ha'idna, says the Aruch HaShulchan over 100 years ago, nowadays, we're not really focusing so well anyway. And that's far as quoted by a lot of the Rishonim. And even in the Gemara, that's far as come up before. That, well, we don't really focus so well anyway, so something that would have been normally a patur, an exemption from davening at all, may no longer apply because we're not really so focused anyway. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, Imkein, Lamalanu Havinenu, who needs Havinenu to shorten the davening when we're not really focused even without it? Then he adds an interesting caveat. Umehanachon, in brackets, Hayalahar Gila Anshe Chayil, Shnechutzim Lavodasam Lespal Havinenu. But there are people who are so forth, whether it's soldiers or people who are really in dire situations who may really have to run at the moment's notice, they should learn Havinenu, he says. They should learn how to daven Havinenu in case they're called at a moment's notice and can't daven a full davening. Better to daven a Havinenu, which is on the books. That's really a mamash, a davar nachutz, very pressing situation.
How do they hold in Gaza?
What?
How do they hold in Gaza?
I'm not familiar with what they hold in Lamaisa, but it's good to think about the idea that it's sanctioned, if ever, for dire need. But by and large, we don't say this. So why am I going into Havinenu if we don't really say Havinenu? It's not really something that's been said in quite a long time in regular circumstances. Why am I bringing it up? I bring it up, as I mentioned before, because if we want to understand the fundamentals of this section of Shmona Esrei, look at what gets cut out and look what needs to be there when push comes to shove. You can tell a lot about a person, about what they prioritize when, God forbid, a fire breaks out. What do they grab first? Do they knock over the children to get to the safe? Do they get the children out first? What do they come back for next? Do they grab their ksuba? Do they grab their svarim? Do they grab their laptop? You can really get a sense of what's most important to a person when a crisis comes and there isn't enough time and there isn't enough money or there isn't enough opportunity for everything. What gets cut first and what's so integral that it has to stay? That it has to stay. Well, it turns out in this middle section, which is quite long, 13 independent brachos, if it can't stay, it's a soldier in our army and needs to daven a quick davening, look at what stays and what goes. The praise of each of these brachos falls away. And we highlight just the bakasha of the bakashas. Number two is that, we mentioned before, it ends off Baruch Atah Hashem Shomea Tefillah. Is that just a coincidence because it happens to be the last one on the list? I don't believe so. I don't think it's just a coincidence that just happens to end off Shomea Tefillah. We needed a bracha, and that's the last one on the list. The entire theme of this bracha, starting from Havinenu for Das, going all the way to Tarim Nikra, Tasanef for Shomea Tefillah, those are all Shomea Tefillah. If push comes to shove, it's going to be about Shomea Tefillah. Why do I say that? So the Gemara has a comment that in each bracha, a person should daven for things related to that bracha. So a person can insert a prayer for health for a particular chola. In Rifa'enu, a person can insert a particular prayer for Parnasa and Baruch Aleinu, and so on and so forth. But the Gemara also says in source number 7, Sho'el Adam Tzuracha B'Shomea Tefillah. Person can request anything at all in Shomea Tefillah. Says Tosfos in source number 8, the Davcha Tzurachav. You can't just say anything in Shomea Tefillah. We said you could ask for anything you want in Shomea Tefillah. Not everything, Tosfos say. What things fit in Shomea Tefillah? Says Tosos, could go and sheyesh lo chala b'soch beso. Even for a chala, which you would say belongs in Rifa'enu, you could daven for a chala in Shema Kaleinu. O shetzarach sadeo mayim, a parnasa issue, a field issue. Also, it could have gone in Baruch Aleinu, but it's appropriate also in Shema Kaleinu, says Tosos. To whom may ain't tefillah, because that's about tefillah. The chayin she'ila, back to your point before, Mr. Backman, if a person forgets b'sein talamatar, they can say it in Shomea Tefillah, because that is a request for rain. Requests belong in Shema Kolenu. But, says Tosfos, Aval Hazkara, person who forgot Masha V'Ruach HaMoreh HaGeshem, cannot make it up by inserting Masha V'Ruach HaMoreh HaGeshem in Shomea Tefillah. The Havdalah, a person forgot Atachon Antanu, Motzei Shabbos. You cannot insert Atachon Antanu in Shema Kolenu. Vishar Shivachim, because those are praise, and other praises too, you may not insert praise in Shema Kolenu. Shema Kolenu is all-inclusive. Yeah, all-inclusive for Tzirachav, but you may not, say Tosfos, insert praises of Hashem in Shomea Tefillah, Aser She'ena Me'ein Shomea Tefillah, because that is not appropriate. It doesn't fit the theme of Shomea Tefillah. He's talking about Shomea Tefillah, the actual Shomea Tefillah, the 13th of the middle brachos in the Amidah. But Shomea Tefillah really encapsulates what the middle section is about. It's about asking for our needs. So when push comes to shove, if you're pressed for time, we're cutting out the praise section of the middle area. You know what? Those praises don't really belong in the middle section. They don't belong in Shema Kolenu. And if push came to shove, they really don't have to be there for any of the brachos. Because you can be yotzei with Havineinu, Atachonein, and Rifa'einu, and Baruch Aleinu, and Asamach David, without mentioning any praise. Because when the fire broke out, when push came to shove, B'darach Dachuk, Shasad Chak, we just picked out from each bracha the important bakasha from each one. Shema Kolenu teaches us that this entire middle section is about bakasha, which you're saying it's obvious. These are bakashas. But no, a person might mistakenly believe that the idea is about praising Hashem. We praise Hashem through our needs. We have needs which allow us to praise Hashem. That is not the approach we're going to take tonight. It's not that our means is bakasha, but the goal is praising Hashem. By highlighting our needs, we highlight just how much Hashem is wonderful and that He takes care of us. That is not the goal of the middle section, according to what we've seen so far, what we're about to see. Shomea Tefillah teaches us that not just Shomea Tefillah, but all of the brachos in the middle section are really just about bakasha. The praise that comes as another function to remind us, as Rashba said, whom we're speaking to, reminding us to ask for the one and the only one who can help us, how we're not deserving, He has it, we need it. Those are just to set up the bakasha. The bakasha is the ikar of each bakasha individually. And therefore, if push came to shove, we know what's going out and we know what's staying in. And Shomea Tefillah is an appropriate bracha to end off the entire middle section, because it's not just going on, hey, it's an independent bracha. We daven for rain and we daven for Yerushalayim, we daven for Mashiach, and we also happen to daven, give us the things that we need. All of them are things that we need. The theme for all of them is Shomea Tefillah. In fact, we've quoted this once before in an earlier installment in source number 9, the Mabit, 500 years ago, Moshe ben Yosef Trani, contemporary of the Beis Yosef in Tzvat, 500 years ago, has a beautiful sefer on tefillah called Beis Elokim, and he writes that Shomea Tefillah is the culmination of all the other brachos. When a person says, if I didn't daven properly in the previous 12 brachos, I didn't have proper kavana, when I was saying Rifa'enu and Baruch Aleinu, please accept that kol anyway. Listen to our kol, listen to our meaningless, meaning thoughtless, not carefully davened, listen to my words, and we ask Hashem to use this bracha to bolster the other ones. Shomea Tefillah is not just another bracha. It encapsulates everything that the middle brachos are all about. And that's why when we have to condense it down to one, in Havineinu, it ends up Baruch Atah Hashem Shomea Tefillah. That is the theme of Atachonin too, and Rifa'enu too, and Baruch Aleinu too. It's the bakashos, it is the needs that play priority. Soloveitchik always spoke about this idea, according to his writings. And I gave it to you two different sections in the book, the Rav on Tefillah, where he speaks about this. The importance of bakasha as the heart of Jewish tefillah, which is not the same, he argues, as how other religions view prayer. He writes in source number 10, petition, which means bakasha, pleading to Hashem, having a sense of desperation, a sense of being in need, putting out your hands, opening up your eyes and saying, help, help, look at me, I need you. That petition plays a prominent role in Jewish prayer, he writes. While some may downplay its importance and focus instead on praise and thanksgiving, that's the first three brachos, that's the last three brachos, says the Rav, Judaism not only retained the so-called selfish prayer in its liturgical texts, but considered such prayer the central theme of the service. He writes in the Bible, as we see throughout Tanakh, the tefillos are not about praising Hashem only, they're about asking for things. From Eliezer to Yaakov, every time they're in danger, they turn to Hashem with needs. Even the book of Tehillim, he writes in the second line of the next paragraph, even the book of Tehillim, yes, filled as it is with songs of praise and thanksgiving, there's a lot of praise and thanksgiving in Tehillim. Tehillim has as its essence prayers of petition, bakashos, begging, neediness. The Rav said, if one would eliminate this aspect of bakashos from Tehillim, the psalmist would be silenced forever. There would be nothing for the psalmist to daven for, to speak about, if he wasn't asking for things. The requests that we make of God find their fullest expression in the Shmona Esrei. With the 13 petitions at its core, it is known in rabbinic literature simply by the name Tefillah. When Chazal speak about Tefillah, the laws of Tefillah, They're not talking about Berachas HaShachar. And they're not talking about Karbanos. And they're not talking about Pesukei Dezimra, Berachas Kriyat Shema, or Shema. They are talking about the Amidah. Not only is Shomea Tefillah, petition, neediness, the core of the middle section, Rav Soloveitchik argued that that is the core of all of Shemona Esrei. There is a story I've told before, which the story has some use. We're going to take the opposite approach to this story. The story goes about a certain Rebbe who spoke to his Hasidim about brachos and about the world. And the Hasidim said, you know, Rebbe, at the end of the day, you wake up in the morning, we wake up in the morning, you say Moda Ani, we say Moda Ani, you make a bracha on food, we make a bracha on food. We're not so different. And the Rebbe said, we are very different. Because when you make a bracha on an apple, what you really want to do is eat the apple. You really need the apple. So you make a bracha, so you'll have an opportunity to be able to be allowed to eat the apple. He said, but I wake up in the morning, look outside, I see Hashem's wonderful acts of nature, and I'm so overwhelmed, I want to just praise Hashem. But I can't praise Hashem without context. So I look for an apple. When I have an apple, I have an opportunity to praise Hashem for what he's all about. That story has its use. The Rav argues that that's not what tefillah is all about. Tefillah is not about, well, we have needs so that we are able to praise Hashem in that context. There's a great utility to that story and to that perspective. It's not wrong. That being said, Rav Soloveitchik felt very strongly that that is not the way to look at Shemona Esrei, that is not the way to look at tefillah at its core. Tefillah is not about finding a way to praise Hashem, and we only have needs, so we can praise Hashem. That's not how we should look at it. Instead, source number 11, the Rav continued, when we examine the formulation of the benedictions, the brachos in Shemona Esrei, we note that those who arranged the prayer had a lot to focus on the petitions and keeping the praises brief. Entreaty, begging Hashem, is the backbone of Avodah Shebelev. He points out even on Shabbos and Yom Tov, where the middle brachos disappear and it becomes one bracha, even on Shabbos and Yom Tov, which is not about bakashas. We don't pray, we don't cry on Shabbos and Yom Tov. In the second paragraph, he writes, there's still requests. Ritzei Navam Nuchaseinu, which is the core of the Shabbos middle bracha, is also about requests. It's spiritual requests to spend Shabbos properly, to see Hashem, Katrina B'mitzvosecha, Sechachina B'sarasecha. Those are requests. Ritzeinu is a request. Kachenu is a request. In the Musaf prayer, well, there's no Bakashos, there's no Rafa'enu, there's no Baruch Aleinu in Musaf. What are we talking about? Bring back the Beis HaMikdash so we can actually offer Karbonos properly. He points out every tefillah needs to have Bakashos. That is not just an element, that is the core of tefillah. It's in the middle, it's at the heart, you know, symmetrically, it's in the middle of tefillah, it's after the praise, before the thank you, but it's the center in terms of its value. The core of Jewish prayer is the bakasha. There is no prayer, he writes, without petition and supplication. Halacha opposed all those outlooks which derive from a pantheistic mysticism which aimed to excise entreaty from prayer, which we'll say it in English, means that the other religions that say that really all we have a right to do is praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We want to sing about him and sing and sing and sing. That is not the essence of Jewish prayer. Of course we have Shevach. Of course we have Hodah. He writes, even though, as noted, prayer requires praise and prayer requires thanksgiving, nonetheless, the vigor and power of prayer derives from petition, from bakasha, from asking. He writes that halacha is interested in our day-to-day lives. Our tefillah is focused on the needs. The Amidah deals with the needs of the world, of this world. Bodily health, fertility of the earth, sustenance, political needs, ingathering of the exiles, restoration of judicial autonomy, perpetuation of Israel's sages. These are physical needs. We're not just focused on esoteric ideas. He writes a lot of religions focus on esoteric ideas. When they pray, they are transcending reality, they are transcending this corporeal world, and they are focusing instead on lofty ideals. No, the Jewish prayer at its core is about our needs, our health, our scratches, our pain, our frustrations. These are important to focus on. It's important to make davening real. It's important that davening feels like a bakasha. If davening feels like a burden, it's probably because it feels like things that are esoteric, they're not related to my life, I have to get through it. I like to have davened. But according to Rav Soloveitchik, and we've saw this before, this is the core of Havinu, this is the core of the middle section, this is the core of all of the Amidah, and that's the core of all of tefillah, is for a person to highlight their needs. And if push came to shove, we'd sooner cut out the praises than to cut out the bakashas. The essence of tefillah is for a person to truly connect their needs to Hashem, not just as a way of praising him for having the resources to give it to us, but to actually ask him for it and feel like we need it and we're desperate to have it. And if he doesn't give it to us, We don't know how we're going to survive. That's what tefillah is all about. A person shouldn't feel that it's so petty. I can't ask Hashem to give me a good grade on this test or to help me get over this cold or be able to, you know, make better time in terms of traffic. If that's important to you and it's messing with your day, then daven for it. Make it real. If it's bothering you, have money on the line for the Super Bowl, which I'm not recommending, but if you have money on the line for the game, then daven for the game. If it's important to you, then it's your needs. And you're worried about that. Now, if you wanted to stop and reflect, am I focused on the game when there are soldiers who are fighting, you know, life and death situations, there are hostages, that's a good time to reflect on our own values. That being said, if that's one of your values, then daven for it. If it's important enough to occupy your mind, then it's important enough to daven for it. Halacha is interested in the needs of the people as they see fit. And in Shomer Tefillah, daven for whatever's kol tzerachav. Not praise. Tosfos said not allowed to put praise in Shomer Tefillah. Shomer Tefillah encapsulates all the brachos of the Amidah. What's really happening over here at the core of our tefillah? Again, this is Shmona Esrei as the core of all the Pesukei Dezimra. We got to Shmona Esrei. The core of the Shmona Esrei is Bakashos, and the core of all that is Shomer Tefillah. If it's important to you, then daven for it. I've mentioned in the past, Rabbi Menachem Penner has shared this tip for davening with Kavana, is that at least daven for the thing that's distracting you from having Kavana. If you can't focus on your daven, because you can't stop thinking about the score, or about that fight, or about this phone call you have coming up, then daven for that phone call. Daven for that game. If it's enough to ruin your davening, then it's enough of a need of yours that you should bring it in, make it real. That's Jewish tefillah. No, it's too petty, it's too mundane. We're petty, we're mundane. If we're thinking about it, then make davening real. Why should davening have to be a burden where it's about, well, if I can't be spiritual enough? If it's on your mind and you're a real human being, then make davening real. Be a real human being. If you have petty fights and you have petty frustrations and it's about childcare and about traffic and about paychecks, then daven for those things in the brachos where they belong. And if not, in Shomei HaTefillah. Shoel Adam Kol Tzerachav B'Shomei HaTefillah. If that's your Tzerachav, Tzerachav. Individually. Your. Each person davens for his or her needs. If this is your need, even though it's not someone else's need, they don't care about sports, they don't care about paychecks or traffic. If you want to daven for good Wi-Fi so you can work from home, then daven for good Wi-Fi. If it's on your mind, the Rav would say, that's the core of the Amidah. That is the core of all of tefillah. Tefillah means to ask about the things most relevant to my life. What's the role of bakashos? What's the role of shevach in the beginning? We explained. That was the Rashba's idea from last time about having a sense of who I'm talking to. He's the one who could help me with these things. He is the only one who could help me with these things. And I don't have a right to ask with an entitlement that I'm deserving of these things. That's an appropriate mindset to set up the bakashos. But that's the core. Whether it's a short havineinu or it's the longer version, it's all the same. The core, we can really boil it down to one bracha if we ever had to. If we ever had to. Because the core is about asking for things. Personal needs, like refa'enu and for parnasa, but national needs as well. For rightness and morality, of Shiva Shavteinu Kvarishona, and about safety of the tzaddikim, and having good sages, having good wisdom, and Das Torah, to be able to have Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh rebuilt, and Beis HaMikdash, and David HaMelech, have the Mashiach Tzidkenu. We have to have the national needs as well. We have personally, we have national needs. We have to have this in mind. And with this perspective, that bakasha, petition, the idea of pleading, the idea of having a sense of urgency, a sense of neediness, as the core of the middle section, of the entire Amidah, of all of tefillah, can explain a very important halacha that I think is very understudied, and people may not be aware, that there's actually a halacha not only about when to daven, and how to stand, what words to say, in what order, in what language, there is a halacha about an attitude toward davening. There is a halacha on the books, from the Mishnah, to the Gemara, to the Shulchan Aruch, to the Mishnah Berurah, there is a halacha about the attitude a person has to have when davening. What is the attitude a person has to have when davening? This is found in the Mishnah, Maseches Brachos. I gave it to you in source number 12. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, it's also found in Pirkei Avos, Ha'oset tefilaso keva, a person who makes their tefillah keva, keva means fixed, whatever that means, we'll have to define keva in just a moment, person who makes his or her tefillah keva, ein tefilaso tachanunim, that tefillah is not a supplication, not a petition, not a bakasha, the tefillah is keva, it's not a tachanun, it's not a sense of true entreaty. The million-dollar question is, what are you talking about? My keva, the Gemara wants to know. Gemara quotes three different opinions. Let's discuss the first two for now. Amar Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, Amar Rabbi Oshaya. Rabbi Oshaya says, Kol she tefilaso doma alav kimasoi. A person whose tefillah feels like a burden. Again, tefillah often feels like a burden for us. I have to daven. I have to get this done. I had a Rebbe in school. I was in fifth grade. This really stuck with me. He told us that every night before leaving the house for Maariv, he would call out to his wife. He would say, okay, I have to go to Maariv. I mean, I want to go to Maariv. Right? Often we use terminology that makes it seem like, I have to go to Maariv. The Gemara says, but the Mishnah might mean, a person who makes us feel like Keva. Why is that called Keva? Says Rashi in source number 13. We'll jump around. Rashi in source 13 says, why is that called Keva? Rashi says, V'hayinu lashon Keva, when tefillah feels like a burden. This is an attitude halacha. A person saying all the right words, they're standing with their feet together, and they're davening bizman with a minion, right nusach. But the attitude of Keva, why is a masoya Keva, says Rashi, chok kavua hu alai, it is a burden, it is a established law upon me, lehis baleel to daven, b'tzarachani letzei sidei chavosi, I have to daven. I don't like to daven, I like to have daven. I have to fill my obligation, check my boxes, I want to be done with it. That's Keva. It's kavua, it's set, it's fixed, it doesn't have a sense of meaning to me, it's rote. Says the Gemara, a person who davens tefilas keva, which in this pshat means it feels like a burden, an attitude, ain't tefilas tachanunim. The tefila isn't considered to be a real tefila. Second approach in the Gemara, back to source 12, second line, for Rabbanan Amri, another approach, what does it mean? Ha'oset tefilas keva, kol mi she'eino omra b'lashon tachanunim. A person who, as they're davening, doesn't daven with a language of tachanun. What the Mishnah is saying now is, ha'osa tefila so keva, a person who makes tefila with a attitude, with a voice, says the, if you look at the parentheses in source 12, she'omro benachas, to daven slowly, kimisha mevakesh rachamim al atzmo, like a person who's truly expressing a need for compassion and for help. A person shouldn't just say the words, there's an attitude, there's a tone, there's a speed, there's a way of speaking that communicates that a person is davening not as keva, but as a sense of urgency, a sense of neediness. A person is able to be slow and articulate and clear, like they are begging for their life. The Rishonim point out, I gave it to you from Rabbeinu Yonah, one of the Rishonim, in source number 14, he explains that these two opinions might be mutually exclusive. Meaning Rabbi Yoshaya, who said that the problem is making your tefillah a burden, he would say that as long as you're not making it a burden, you don't have to have a really entreating type of attitude. As long as you say, I want to go daven, this is something I'm excited to do, even if you don't necessarily use terminology that implies desperateness, that's fine. And the other one says, say the opposite. The second opinion who says, all that matters is a person who says it with a sense of urgency, even if for that person's mind, it feels like a burden, I'm burdened, I'm obligated to daven with urgency, but I daven with urgency, then you're fine. So you can look at each opinion in isolation. One proper attitude for Shmona Esrei is a person has to daven from a sense of, I have to go to Maariv. Not as a burden, but something that doesn't feel kavua, it feels like something meaningful. And number two, the tone. So you really could have passed in like one over the other. How do we actually pass? Can the Rishonim say, we pass in like both. And therefore in Shulchan Aruch, this is halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says you have to stand with your feet together. You have to stand during Shmona Esrei. You have to face east. You have to say the right words. We should daven in Hebrew if possible. Another halacha is about attitude. This is not a Musar Sefer. This is halacha in Shulchan Aruch. In source 15, Yispalel derech tachanunim. As the Mishnah said, don't daven keva, daven tachanunim. What does that mean? He quotes both opinions. Kirash hamavakesh bepesach uvenachas, like a pauper who is begging at the door and therefore speaks slowly, speaks softly, speaks begging, not entitled, with an attitude and a tone of desperation and neediness. That was the second opinion. And v'shelotira alav kemasa umavakesh lipata mimena, and not with an attitude of, I have to get this done, I have to get this off me, I just want to have davened. Wow. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, you have to have both these in mind. Mishnah Berurah points out in source number 16, to properly accomplish this, he writes, "V'yasam alibo, a person should have in mind, she'ein biyad shum nivra malach o mazal o kuchav, there is no other force in the universe, l'malos she'ilaso ki'im b'rtzono yisbarach, when a person davens not as a burden, but as a chance of opportunity. I'm so lucky, I get to speak to the creator of the universe. I can't go anywhere else for this, and I have an audience with the creator of the universe. It's not a burden, that's an opportunity beyond what the average person could have expected. If I was created in this world, I wouldn't have thought we can talk to the one who controls everything. Amazing. And a sense of desperation, a sense of opportunity, and also a sense of tone. The Be'er Halacha, which is also the Chafetz Chaim, source number 17, writes, Ma me'od tzarech ha'adam lizaher bazet. So important to be careful. We're not just focused on how our feet are together and whether we're standing, whether there's no bad smells in the room. This halacha of davening, this is a halacha, says the Be'er Halacha. He quotes some poskim who say, Ki yesh kama poskim hamatzrichim lachzer ulehispalel mechmazeh. There are poskim who hold, you're not yotzei davening if you don't daven with this attitude. You said all the right words, in the right order, at the right zman, and you may not be yotzei if you don't have this right attitude. The attitude is ma'akiv. The attitude can prevent you from being yotzei, maybe. He concludes, not like that, but he quotes, the Chin Aprima Gadim, in the 1700s, Kasav, the Yesh Lachosh Lachashash Bracha Levatela. You may have wasted your time, you may have said brachos for no good reason if you daven without the proper attitude. He writes, Ve'en Lachachmer Dievid, a person already finished davening without this mindset, we're not going to have him daven again. But V'al Kopanim says the Chafetz Chaim, L'chadchila me'od yizaher bazeh, be exceedingly careful about this. As we're careful about the zman of davening, we are careful about the attitude of davening. This can now explain why it's so important. Rav Soloveitchik told us, the core of tefillah is words and requests that reflect our mundane needs. The halacha says the attitude, the tone, the speed, the rate, the mindset has to reflect that sense of urgency. We have to daven like a person who is standing in front of the only one who can help. And the one who owes us nothing. The shalach is there to help shape our perspective, but this is the core. The core is to daven not as a keva, not because we have to, not because it's a burden on us, but because we get a chance to unburden ourselves to Hashem. Unburden meaning in a cathartic way. We're going to burden. We're going to get rid of the burden sense of davening by learning to unburden ourselves to Hashem, to release all that we're carrying around with us. We're carrying around family stress, and we're carrying around hopes and dreams, and we're carrying around stressors in our life and financials and shidduchim and parnas. We're carrying around so much stress. And we're all looking for a good therapist. I'll talk to you later. But we're all looking for a good person to pour out our hearts to. You talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu 3 times a day. You can unburden yourself. It's not a burden. To unburden yourself, to feel like I have the ear, I have the metaphorical ear, I have the creator of the universe right in front of me. I'm speaking in second language, Baruch Atah. I'm speaking in direct connection with the master of the universe. This is not keva. This is not fixed. This is not a burden upon me. It's an opportunity. This isn't something I can just waltz in and dive in with a haphazard mind elsewhere. I'm focused on my desperate needs. And if I can't focus because I'm thinking about all my needs, then dive in for that. Bring that into the room. If it's on your mind, we're a physical, mundane being, then bring that into the room. We need that too. Dive in for that too. To unburden tefillah and instead be able to unburden in tefillah is a wonderful opportunity that can stop us from viewing tefillah as keva and instead transform it into something tachanunim, something petition, a plea, a bakasha, a desperate opportunity while having the ear of the one who controls it all. I just want to go back to a third approach in the Gemara that wasn't quoted in the halacha, but if you look back in source number 12 at the end of the source, the Gemara quotes a third approach. What does it mean that a person's tefillah shouldn't be keva? The Gemara quotes Rabbi Rav Yosef Damri Tarvayim. Rabbi Rav Yosef said, "Kol she'ino yachol lechadesh badavar." Person who doesn't have anything new in their tefillah, that's keva. Rashi explained in source number 13, "Lechadesh badavar b'kashaso behind lashon keva kiyom kein esmol kein machar." Same tefillah yesterday, same tefillah tomorrow. It's keva in the sense that it's repetitive. Repetitive. And also repetitive. Often we want to know, why are we saying the same words over and over again? You know what? Maybe don't. Why should today's Shomea Tefillah be the same as yesterday's Shomea Tefillah unless today's needs are exactly the same as yesterday's needs? And maybe they are. Fine. But whatever's on our minds today should be in today's Tefillah. The Tefillah is keva, not only in terms of burden, not only in terms of tone and how we speak. Those are the first two approaches. But the Gemara is raising the idea that perhaps we should make Shemona Esrei new each time. How do you do that? You got to be a poet and make up new terminology? No, no, no. If you're thinking about new things because life moves on, then include new things. If we're davening the same way in the same words today as 10 years ago, we're not doing something right. If we're davening today as same as yesterday, likely we're not doing something right. If I'm a new person today, I'm thinking about new things today, new specials, new sports teams are in the game. So if I daven today, I'm thinking about the sports team, davening about today's paycheck, or today's shidduchim, or today's refuah needs. As life changes, how can our tefillah stay the same? How can tefillah stay fixed when life and we change? If tefillah is real, if tefillah is about us, How could it not change with us? Our needs change. What's important to me today isn't the same as yesterday, so my tefillah can't be the same. Someone once asked me, they often wait for me for Mincha Maariv to finish Shmoneh Esrei, and someone once came up to me and asked, he said, you know, like, you took a lot longer for Mincha than for Maariv. I said, thanks for making me self-conscious, by the way, but I said, well, of course, like, there are different tefillahs. For those who say, my Shmoneh Esrei is exactly 2 minutes and 35 seconds. First of all, it's way too fast. But also, if someone says, I have a set time for my davening every single time, you're doing something wrong. That's keva. How could you always daven the same speed? Your mind is always exactly in the same place? You're right. If you're timing the words, I guess if we speak at the same rate that we normally do, it could be the same words, so the same rate, same time on the clock. But if davening is a real experience, a real bakasha experience, well then, it shouldn't be the same tefillah to tefillah, even shacharis to mincha to maariv. As I have more kavanah, as I focus more, as I have more needs or less things on my mind, my tefillah is not fixed. It's not a burden on me. It's an opportunity to unburden myself onto Hashem for everything on my mind. And my mind changes. So my tefillah changes. The words are the text, the bare bones. The heart comes from the heart. The heart of tefillah comes from the heart that we infuse into it. And if we're thinking about real things, put that into the tefillah, and now tefillah becomes real. Amazing. Amazing. We unburden our tefillah by finding a chance to unburden through tefillah. But what do we do if it's hard to think of it this way? What if we just don't have that feeling? We don't have that desperation. Naturally, we just don't feel it. I don't feel that I'm really in dire need. I don't feel that I'm speaking to the one who controls everything. And here we end up with my favorite refersh. I've mentioned this so many times in the series. If you're doing the series right, we'd quote this refersh every single week. We could read this refersh 1,000 times. Rav Hirsch told us, we've quoted this in the very first year and many times since, Rav Hirsch told us Jewish tefillah is not the same as other types of prayer expression. At first glance, it sounds like it's opposite to Rav Soloveitchik's idea, but let's bring it together. Rav Hirsch said, tefillah can't just be about expressing the things we're already bursting to say. If that was the case, Rav Hirsch said, it would make no sense for us to use the same text day after day and daven the same words as everybody else around us and to daven at set times. If tefillah really is about the things that are important to me and things I'm bursting to say, things I'm already feeling, why would there be a set text, a set time, and a unanimous, ubiquitous text for all of us? Says Rav Hirsch, tefillah is a chance in a reflexive way, lehit balel, reflexively to inculcate within ourselves these values and these needs. So now, the relationship between the text of tefillah, bakashas, and the need is a ridiculously amazing two-way street. If we're already feeling these things, we already have real needs in our life, infuse that into Shmoneh Esrei and make it a tachanunim, stop making it keva. At the same time, if you don't naturally feel that sense, the words of tefillah are meant to, according to Rav Hirsch, drill within a person that sense of, hey, I need all these things. I do need a chonin hadas. I do need a chance to come close to Hashem. I do need refuah and yeshua and parnasa and mashiach and justice in the world. I do need those things. If I don't feel them, says Rav Hirsch, that's the most important reason to daven. Rav Hirsch said, Jewish tefillah means that those who feel the need to daven least need to daven the most. They're not just expressing what they already feel, they are learning to feel. It's an avoda shebelev, it's an avoda. It takes work. We are trying to work on ourselves. We are always an avoda in process. We are trying to start to feel that sense of desperation. So how neat is that? If we're already thinking about things, if we already feel a sense of desperation, channel that into tefillah and make it that way. If we're not feeling that way, use the words of tefillah to remind ourselves. Yes, I do need all these things. Yes, I am in the control of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu who runs all these processes. And in that way, to truly make tefillah real for the things I'm already feeling and for the things I haven't thought about in a long time and for the things Chazal told me, don't forget to daven for this. Don't forget to daven for that. So our takeaways for tonight, number one, the essence of the middle 13 brachos of the Amidah is our request, is our sense of neediness. It's not about praise. Tosfos told us, Shemaya Tefillah, we don't allow praise in Shemaya Tefillah. And that's why Shemaya Tefillah really is not just the last bracha of that section. Really, when push came to shove, it remained Baruch Atah Hashem Shemaya Tefillah, because that encapsulates what the entire fundamental of the middle section of Tefillah is. Not only is this the middle section of Tefillah, the Rav argued that this is actually what Tefillah is all about. This is the core of the Amidah and Jewish prayer itself, not about hymns and about praises. The praises, and next week's topic about Hodah, gratitude, those are the bookends, those are the context to properly have good bakashos. But the theme actually is bakasha. Therefore, we saw the halacha, not just a Musar idea, the halacha, a person must pray not keva, but tachanunim, not as a fixed burden, with a tone of entreaty, a tone of request, and a sense of great need and opportunity. How lucky am I to have a chance to address the master of the world? As Rav Hirsch told us so many times, if we don't naturally feel that sense of urgency, we don't naturally feel that sense of bakasha, the words of the bakashos are there to train us, to teach us what's important to me, what should be important to me, what do I need? What am I not thinking about for a long time? About the weight of morality, the weight of safety and security in the world, the safety of our soldiers, the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, Mashiach Tzidkenu, health for Klal Yisrael and for those in my family, for Shaduchim. These are the things I have to remember. I'm speaking to the one who can actually help us. Mirza Hashem, if we can have this perspective in mind, to realize that tefillah should not be a burden. Tefillah should not be something that we don't know what it's talking about. We don't know what it means. We supply the meaning. If it's important to us, it's important to mention in davening. It's important to make it real. And if we feel like we're lacking something, the words of tefillah themselves, these bakashos, stand at the center not only of the Amidah, but the core, as Rav Soloveitchik said, of what Jewish prayer is all about. So we should use this opportunity every day to make our tefillahs different than the previous tefillahs. As we change, our tefillahs change. As we become more real, we're talking to Hashem in a real way. We should be zocha to take the burden out of tefillah and truly have a sense every day of unburdening ourselves. So Kodesh Baruch Hu.